I can tell who's on the way out. 25 shows, check the payout. I ain't going home, I'm gonna stay out. Motherfuckers hate you when they looking for a way out. I just sit back and let it play out.
And when you started selling the shoes, did you, like, what was, like, your business background, business knowledge background? Like, did you know what you were doing, like, as far as, like, opening up a business and doing all that stuff?
Not really, honestly. Yeah. I mean, the only experience I had, like you mentioned,
you were a business major, right?
I was a business major,
yeah. Did they teach you anything?
No.
Fuck college.
Absolutely not. College. No. The only background I had was one-off or... Yeah, one-off. I get them mixed up in my own head.
As far as like selling things on your own. Like you weren't like educated as far as like opening up a business and all that stuff yet.
No, and that's where Zuki came into play because he had Zuki Customs, like his own business. So he had a business background. He'd been through it. He knew the steps. Like you got to get a business bank account. You got to get an LLC.
Yeah,
you
I was the same way, bro. I had no idea what
Me
I was
neither.
Doing.
Me neither. Yeah.
Well, I still have no idea, man.
Yeah, you gotta do the LLC and you gotta get a business bank account. Like,
100%. You definitely have like an idea.
No, I have an idea for sure.
I didn't even know what a fucking LLC was when I started. Like last year, not at this time, probably like a little over a year ago, probably like January 22.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I dropped out of school full time and took it full time.
I did the same time.
Did you?
I dropped out. Me and you had a discussion that made me decide to drop out.
So what year was it?
What was our discussion? I want to rewind back.
I don't exactly remember the conversation, but I remember where we were.
Were you tattooing me at your house or something?
I don't think so. The way I remember it is
we were drinking, tattooing, and talking about dropping out of college, guys.
We definitely talked about it, but it wasn't like serious at that point. And then you and I were in the car going somewhere, and we were about to get on McClellan Highway at the intersection, around here. And I remember you were saying like, yeah, I'm done. I'm dropping out in January. And that was when I made the same decision. I was like, all right, Tommy's doing it. I'm going to do it too.
He's dropping out to make videos. I'm going to do the same thing.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, bro. It's kind of scary to think back because when I did drop out of school, like, sure, I knew I could get some brand deals. I could my sailing was like, let me just make $1,000 to $1,500 a month. That's all I want to make a month. Because I'm living at home, like me and you, honestly, I was thinking about it. We come from like similar backgrounds because we have blue collar families. We both were living at home at the time. Like we had a house to live at.
Yep.
So like we kind of were able to kind of take that jump because we had somewhere to go and didn't have crazy expenses or anything. So when I dropped out, it was like, I had that ceiling of like $1,500 a month. I can do this. I can get like three brand deals for $500 each or something.
Yeah.
And it was weird when I dropped out. I don't know if you had something similar happen to you. It seems like you and Zuki kind of met around February. When I dropped out, it was weird. Like my agent, Nick, I met, who, you know, Nick Woodruff.
Yep.
He opened my eyes to everything. LLC, accountant, fucking S Corp, fucking longevity, thinking long-term, everything, tax write-offs. And, it was weird. Like when you take that jump and like that energy gets manifested into like, I'm going to do this full time. It was like that good energy kind of like followed me. Did you feel like when you dropped out, like you kind of had a similar experience of like things kind of fell into place or?
They were already falling into place. And that's why I dropped out. Like if things weren't working, I wasn't going to do it. I wanted to make sure for 100% fact that I was going to be like, okay. So it was working for a while before I like decided to actually just like put it down.
Done doing this shit.
I had a similar thing. Like you said, $1,500 a month. I think I made a deal with my mom before I even started college because I didn't want to go to college. And she was like, just go to college until like you figure shit out, blah, blah, blah. And I told her, all right, if I make $10,000 a month, then I'm dropping out. And that was the deal I made before I even went to college. And then I had like an extreme stroke of luck where I had like really good brand deals and then a few videos pop off. And I made that 10 in a month. And I told her like, I'm done. I'm out.
Damn.
So
that's funny. You guys had like an agreement before you even went to college.
Yeah.
10 in a month's a lot too.
10 in a month is a lot, bro.
It was a lot.
I couldn't even think about, bro, when I... I'll rewind back to 2019, Massport. I was working at Massport for a summer.
Boy.
And it's just funny because like I worked there and I was like, this is easy fucking work. You steal time. You don't do shit. And you're making 60 grand and fucking you're getting these benefits. I'm like, this is a dream job. It's like I'll make 100K, I'll get my CDL, all this shit.
Yep.
And I was so committed to just doing that. And then like honestly, like $10,000 a month, I couldn't even think about that when I was 19 years old. And now it's like you fast forward to now and it's like, it's not that scary of a number.
No, it's
crazy.
If things go well, then that's like a pretty attainable thing.
Very attainable number.
Like, especially if you have multiple things coming in. Like that time I made it, I had money coming in from TikTok, YouTube, and like three brand deals at the same time. Like, and that wasn't the norm for me. It was like, I would go 5 months with nothing. And then shit like blew up at one point. And then it went silent for another couple months.
Yeah, yeah, it happens.
That's how it goes. All I needed was that one little pay stub to show my mom. And I was like, I'm gone. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm thankful for that, bro. Like taking that risk and dropping out. Because if I didn't, I probably wouldn't have met my agent, Nick. I wouldn't have educated myself on all this shit. And honestly, really just like found my passion of like business and like thinking long term, like building up businesses and brands and shit. Like that shit's fun to me. And doing videos, obviously.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to go back to what we're talking about with Kizzo. So you moved down to Florida in September. Now you're full fledged Kizzo in Florida. Can you say, I mean, you don't have to give me a fucking address, but like what section of Florida do you live in? I honestly just forget.
We live like 20 minutes.
Fort Lauderdale, right? Or something?
No, we're 45 minutes from Fort Lauderdale. We're in West Palm.
Is there I asked this before, but like, what's it like? Like, what is it like where you live? Is like, there's stuff to do? Like, is there nightlife? Is it like,
I mean,
kind of quiet?
No, there's definitely nightlife. Like, probably definitely crazier than Boston. Yeah. Like everybody goes out to like these two spots. It's Clematis and Delray Beach.
Yeah.
And everybody goes out there every Friday, Saturday night. I don't personally like that. Like I don't even like going out at this point. I like staying in. Every time we do go out, I'm DD because I don't want to drink that much anyway. So it's nice and easy. It's chill. But I like, it's a very different like world over there compared to here. Like all these streets are tiny. Like I told you on the way here, all these streets are so small. There's no parking. There's people on top of each other out there. It's just big highways, community like things. It's very synthetic feeling. Like it doesn't feel like home, but it's nice. I like it. It's more chill.
That's dope. So when you moved down there, like Kizzo's in full effect, what like, did you have like a business model then? Like where you were like, we want to go here with it. Like this is like the structure. Or was it just like, really just dropping shoes, taking the orders and shipping them out. That's all you guys were focused on.
We were going one step at a time. Like we knew that we wanted, obviously the goal was to get it as big as possible. Mm-hmm. So, and we knew the way to do that was just make videos go viral, like do this, do that. But we didn't have like a real structured plan for all of this. It's not like we had it all laid out. We just went one at a time. Like we dropped the shoes, see, okay, we sold X amount. Let's double it next time. X amount, double it. Just like that, basically. Yeah. It just went piece by piece. So,
and like you and Zuki, obviously, it's you two who run the business. Mm-hmm. Do you guys like have different roles in the business or you kind of just like help out in all areas together?
Yeah, that's why everything worked out the way that it did because we have such different skill sets. Like if you're going to start a business with someone and you both bring the same exact stuff to the table, like what are you doing? Like, you know, and you need to bring different things. So I bring the fact that I like make content, I can get the shoes out to people. And Zuki brings, like I said, the business side. He understood the business. He did our finances. He did the website. He talks to like manufacturers and stuff like that. We both design, of course, but like he's the one that like directly speaks with them. It's basically he runs like the logistical side of things. And I'm just the one that makes the videos and like sells the product. I'm a marketer, basically.
Well, I was going to lead to my next question. What part of the business do you enjoy the most? Is it the promotion of the product or?
No, I mean, I like making videos, but my favorite part about the business is seeing it grow. You know what I mean? Yeah, like when you see progress, it's like, damn, like we did that shit. Like that's us.
That is the best. That's
nice. Man. And I like designing them too. Like just like the prisms right now. Like when I was designing these and I made the shoe, I was like, damn, that's like really cool. If we can make it, it'd be a banger. So
can you take me through like a typical, I don't know if this is a stupid question, but can you take me through like a typical like shoe design process? Like what does that look like and how long does it usually take?
I can actually show you a little bit.
Yeah, let me see.
This isn't like, I use my iPad to do this usually, but this is the app that I use. So this is Procreate and like, this is something that won't ever be released, but that was what's it called? Sweatpants. So like Nike sweatpants, the whole shoe would be gray Nike sweatpant material. So I just basically drop colors or textures, patterns into Procreate. And then we send that to the manufacturer and they make it. They make a sample first. We clear the sample and then they just produce. Like
where's your manufacturer out of?
China.
So how is that like process like with them? Like have you had any issues with them at all? Or is it like kind of a, I feel like anyone you're going to like have, even when we do our hats, not that we have issues with the guy that does a hat, shout out A+ products, Tommy. But like, obviously when you're dealing with someone so far away, it's like, there's little things, details that we wish we can change on the spot, but it's like, you got to call them, you got to describe it. And it's not even his fault. It's more, might be even the way we're describing
just
it.
Just communicate.
It's like, I wish we were there for like the final part of the process. So you can like, you know, happy hands on with it.
Yeah, there hasn't been any like crazy mishaps, but there's been things like the dartboard release. There was actually a huge mishap with that that nobody really even knew, because we had a sample and the sample had a slightly different color sole than the productions did. Like, and that's something that only I would notice because I'm the only one that had the sample and the production in hand. So I could see next to each other that they were a slightly different color, and I was pissed about it because we told her like, this is the sample. You're supposed to recreate that exactly, like to the T. And there was like just loss in communication.
Because what if it was something on all the shoes?
Like, it was on all the shoes.
I know, but like a main part of the shoe that everyone can see. And like,
yeah, if it was something noticeable, it'd be really bad. Yeah. But there hasn't been any crazy mishaps. And people know, like, when they hear China, they're like, oh, that's like China, like cheap. Da, da, da. Everything comes from China.
Yeah,
and
everything does. Really
people complain about the prices of the shoes now, and our margins are honestly like not that great. Yeah. So if we were to go somewhere else, it would be double. We'd be selling the shoes for $250. Like, you don't understand that it's just way cheaper and the quality's good. Like, these are, you can attest to it, I'm sure. Like, they're pretty good quality shoes.
Very good quality.
They're good. So yeah, I have no problem with it. Our manufacturer is great. You got to obviously go through a lot of processes like on Alibaba or something like that, trying to find a manufacturer. Like, it's tough because some of them do suck. But once you find a good one, ours was through word of mouth. Like, we knew somebody who knew a guy who knew a guy, and that's how we got our manufacturer.
It's always better. It's easier that way.
Way better that way.
More trustworthy.
You know that you can trust them, and it's just better.
What's the worst part of the business for you? What do you not enjoy? What do you enjoy the least of the business?
All the logistical sides of shit. Like, packing up the shoes obviously sucks, because when you have that many shoes to pack up, it takes hours. And it's just so overwhelming, because we'll have all these shoes in our house, taking up the hallway, taking up the front. Like, you can't live in the house when the shoes are there. It sucks. But once they're gone, it's good.
We had a small taste of that. I was telling him on the way over, I'm like, we had a small taste of like packing shoes.
Yeah.
I mean, packing hats. And it wasn't too bad, but I couldn't imagine packing like hundreds of hats. That would kind of be probably annoying after a while. But I mean, that way it's like it's good. It's good though, because you can quality check them, make sure everything's right. Like, again, at the end of the day, it goes through you last. So
yeah.
Would you like eventually, do you think you guys ever will partner with someone to do that shit for you, or would you want to do that? Are you going to kind of keep it just you two?
I think once we get to a point where we're selling like crazy amounts of shoes, like, we have to, obviously. Yeah. But we've talked to fulfillment centers and they wanted $12 per shoe to quality check it, put it in a package and ship it out. And it's like, at the volume that we're doing, that just would take so much money out of our pockets. So our like long-term plan is we're going to get a warehouse. We're going to hire people to work for us full time. And we're going to do it ourselves. Like, we're not going to be doing all the physical work, but we're going to hire people to do it for us. And it's going to save
money the way, in the long run. The way it works like nowadays. It's like, because even when we talk about like, I always talk about with your name, it's like you should open like something one day with the Prosciutto Papi. And you always compare it to like your uncle in Florida, how he works his ass off. Like, he has to be in there to make sure everything goes right.
Yeah. And especially with restaurants. You literally have to be there.
For sure. But like, when you build your network and you're able to like put people in place and make money with other people's money, eventually it's like, you don't even have to be in there to make shit go, to make it go your way. You know,
I want to see a Prosciutto restaurant. I need that.
We got a couple things in the works.
I need to see it, bro.
It'll happen eventually.
Within five years.
Yeah, probably. You'll see that and you'll see.
I want to be one of the first customers. I want to be the first opening day.
I'm actually going to Florida next week again.
Again?
This week, what Saturday. Tampa, though.
Tampa? Oh, that's...
It's way... I know. Yeah. I love Florida, bro.
Me too. It's the best. I love the weather down there.
So, yeah. So, that's fucking... So, where are we at now? So, I talked about September. Then we'll skip through that last end of the year. So, now we're in 2023. You guys are killing it, obviously. Fucking sick designs are coming out, and then something happens.
Mm-hmm.
Something happens.
Yep.
You were able to bring it to the attention of your social media by announcing you got a cease and desist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to ask too many questions. I know you probably can't go into heavy, heavy detail.
Legally can't.
But like, I guess what was your reaction when that happened?
Honestly, it was surprising because we've been making these shoes for a year, and we have to be careful when I word this.
I can answer it,
but I'm just saying I gotta watch my words. So yeah, we were surprised by it. We had plans to change the shoe anyway, though. So when we received the letter, it didn't really change anything. It just kind of pushed us a little harder to do it sooner. Like in the next 3 or 4 months, we were going to make a new shoe anyway. It's not like the letter came and we're like, shit, like everything's hitting the fan. Like we had a plan ready to go and it really didn't affect us that much.
That's good, bro.
So yeah, it was scary though, because we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know if we were going to get taken for everything we had and everything was going to be lost and like shit. And it still could, honestly. That's why I'm trying to be careful.
No, of course.
But
I know you can't say who it is, but would it be like a recognizable brand if someone like...
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, everybody knows. Yeah. Chad's over there like, obviously. That's what
I'm not
everybody knows.
You know, though.
I know. I'm just saying.
I mean,
I'm just curious how Bape, like how do they still drop their stuff?
So big brands like Bape, Kai,
Amiri, like they all the same. Like
Amiri is different. Amiri,
theirs is a little different.
Amiri's is like they're so big that they can like handle shit like that, and they did it the right way. But Bape was interesting because I think back in 2009 they had talks where they received a cease and desist, and they changed their silhouette immediately, and then they brought it back like recently, and that's when they got sued. So, yeah, I don't know exactly what they're doing. I don't know what Kai is doing either. Cool Kai, do you guys know who that is?
I think I heard of him before.
Cool Kai is going through that same thing that Bape went through, and he's selling his shoes like nothing happened. It's like, I don't know.
Damn.
We wanted to change our shoe in the first place.
Well, yeah, that was going to lead us to my next question.
See some leaks of the shoe.
Oh, you want to see?
Yeah.
I'll show you. This is some off the books type stuff.
I can't see it.
You guys will see leaks. It soon enough.
Show me on the way over.
Yeah, I was already showing Tom. Let me see.
Is it just one model?
No, we actually have two versions. So Zuki designed one, I designed one, and then we're gonna take
Zuki
parts, bits and pieces of each one.
Showing it right to the camera.
Nah, they won't be able to see it. Sorry. Even if they do, it's okay.
Damn, he's dope, bro.
That's the first version of like the sample. So obviously the colors don't matter.
Everyone, they're black and yellow. Black and yellow.
You know what? We were going to do a Celtics and Bruins shoe because we thought they were both going to win the championship.
I like them both. I like the left one too, though. I like the, you know what I mean? What you do with the laces.
Yeah, we're going to take bits and pieces of each one and combine them into one. So he made his, I made mine. And
which one was yours, left or right?
The left with the laces. So they're going to have both things.
Very similar, though, they are.
Yeah, yeah, they're both basically the same.
Did you like do it together?
Yeah, we were just sitting in the same room when we did it. I mean, so everything's different on that shoe. Ground up, it's completely a new silhouette. Like nothing is similar to this shoe.
Yeah.
And we got rid of the rose too.
I was just going to say, so that was kind of like going to be my next question. Save hypothetically, you never got the cease and desist and you can keep making the shoes how they are. I know you guys probably don't think too far ahead, but would you just... Would anything change with Kizzos? Would you change the style at all? Or were you just going to keep kind of pumping out this style of shoe
until it kind of just stopped? Like I said, we had the plan to make this anyway. Okay, like we've been in the works of it since January, like creating a new shoe. But the letter kind of like just pushed really us a little. It was like,
hurry up and get the
for
new
sure
one
now. We were probably going to go for another, I don't even know, month or so with this silhouette. And that would have been it, but we had plans already to change it.
So what's next for Kizzo Kicks? Obviously you guys had a very successful year. We don't gotta talk numbers, but I know you guys had a very successful first year, and it's only been 1 year, right?
Yeah.
A 1 year business.
1 year to the date. It started and ended on the same
day.
And you guys have fucking killed it. So what is next? I wanna ask you kind of a two-parter. So what's next for Kizzo in the short term? And then I want to hear something long-term, like aspirations you have for the future with Kizzo Kicks.
Yeah. So short-term, we're going to be, like I mentioned to you guys earlier, doing like clothes, like sweatshirts, t-shirts, pants, shit like that. Mm-hmm. Even jewelry we're looking to get into. And the new shoe is coming, obviously, probably around like tentatively September-ish. Nice. We'll have it ready. But long-term... I want to have storefronts. I want to have multiple businesses that don't even have to do with shoes. Like one of the things we want to get into is like cannabis down the line. Yeah, but like eventually we want to have a Kizzo cannabis store or something like that.
Kith treats.
Yeah.
We want a story the other day.
We want to have something like that. So I don't know. That's the long term, but
yeah.
Who knows if we'll ever get there.
So it seems like you guys want to, because it's honestly similar to what I want to do with like something like It's Content, like with the company we're trying to build. you want to just have Kizua as like the umbrella and just build different, like mm-hmm. a diff, get right. into different industries under. It's like
the same
shit. Yeah, it's like the Pepsi different. Model, how they own like Fritos, they own fucking,
yeah.
they own all the fucking big, they own big, so they own a bunch of shit, but it doesn't have to necessarily do with the original product.
Exactly. Yeah. That's just we want to have multiple things coming in under Kizo. Like we want the brand to be yeah. everywhere and not just shoes, not just clothing, different things. So
yeah, that's, I always get like excited thinking like with that mindset. Cause it's like when you really sit back and think about it, it's like, in this kind of entrepreneurship thing we're all doing, it's like there's really no ceiling with the way you can go with it.
No.
And that's the coolest part about it.
Yeah.
Like with what we're doing, it's like we don't know if, you know, these SNL thing skits we're doing is going to take us somewhere, if the podcast will take us somewhere, if the merch will take us somewhere, or if they all go somewhere. Like who the fuck knows? But business is, I've grown to like it a lot. I never thought I would like business, but this whole like entrepreneurial stuff, like building things up, like that shit's very, very fun to me.
Yeah. Oh, it's fun to me too. Cause you create your own ceiling. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like really. You set the bar, day, you yeah. go where you want to go. And if you fail, it's your fault.
And however hard you want to work is going to
determine. That's literally life too, though. It's not even just create like this stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But like as a creator and as an entrepreneur, like you're not working for anyone. Like you're your own boss. There's no ceiling for you. You know, you could determine your own ceiling at the end of the day.
That's everyone in life. You know what I mean? It's literally up to you.
No, it's up to you. No, it is.
No matter what, no matter what hand you were dealt, no matter what. The thing is, like, if you're breathing and you're healthy, like, it's literally up to you.
Yeah. No, it is interesting because you see, like, a lot of people that have money behind them that get to start these big businesses and stuff. And I look at, even though, like, me and you or you, well, maybe you, I don't know, but we don't have, like, you know, all this money in the bank to, like, throw into a business to start up. No. But, like, I look at our audience we built and, like, that shit is invaluable. Like, we already have, like, the consumers ready to go. It's like, now we just have to figure out the product.
Get
someone behind us, because everyone wants a piece of what we're doing now,
right now
and launch it to like what, you know what I mean? Like you don't need those thousands and thousands of dollars to launch it and then find your customers because they're already there and followers, you know?
That's the biggest thing that I tell people like that want to start creating like content or start a business or whatever. If you have the followers, you can do anything. You know what I mean? Like get the followers first, do dumb shit for a year or two,
build
a following and then you can sell whatever you want. You know what I mean?
You got to really like, that you got to really just like think about who your audience is too. Like, what are they going to buy? What are they interested in?
You know? Audience and of course network, like who
network
you know
too. Who you know is
who you know is everything.
That's a big thing we've learned at least the last year.
I think that's big for you guys, but like I don't specifically like I don't have any like crazy connections that I've used very much. You know what I mean? Like I know people, but it's not like they've really done anything for me or for Kizo yet.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like with Kizo too. Like you built that sneakerhead audience on there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, not that it was easy to translate it, but you kind of already knew what your audience was looking to buy right
away.
With us, it's like, we're still learning our audience. And if we ever want to open like a storefront or something, like I don't have the fucking money to do that yet. Maybe if this shit starts blowing up, we get people to sponsor us. We build that bankroll. We can do it
sponsor
on our own.
Sponsor the podcast.
Sponsor the podcast. They don't have a sponsor. But we'll see. It is all exciting though.
Actually shooting this in my house.
Yeah. I'll give the address right now.
Top notch studio right here.
Yeah, this is nice. All right. So I got one more question before we end off.
We're already ending off?
Who? Oh, you want to keep going?
Wow. I miss you guys. I miss you guys too.
Sorry, man.
I go to La Chiva and get a little cheat chat.
I feel like we hit everything with Kizo. I mean, is there anything else you want to add in about Kizo?
I mean, I don't care.
We were talking about you guys, we all had exes. We should talk about a little relation. Like,
we don't need to go in.
We should get in there. Let's get in there.
Wait, all right. So not my last question, but I still want to ask this question. Who is Jake Pollino?
Ooh.
And what I mean by that is like, obviously you've done a lot of shit. Like you've done the shoes, you're in the entrepreneurial world. If someone were to like, if I were to give you a few options, say, would you consider yourself like a content creator, an artist, an entrepreneur, a sneaker designer? Like what would be your answer?
That's a good question. I wasn't ready for that.
Getting deep.
Yeah, I know. You're making me think. Those are good questions.
I thought of that last night. I wrote it down. I was like, this is good.
That's a good one. see, if you can make someone think about a question, you know, it's a good question. I don't even know, honestly. I think you hit all of those. Like, I think I'm definitely a content creator. I like to think somewhat I'm artistic, like somewhat of an artist. Mm-hmm. Obviously not very good. The things I make are bullshit half the time, but...
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, I don't fucking spend hours on like paintings like an actual artist. I'll make some like cheap little... Like the Sonic shoes I made the other day was just spray paint.
Bro, that's an artist. Still that cool, shit's though. Sick.
That,
bro.
That's like I couldn't do. I couldn't right. think to do that shit.
I guess
I told you that before, and you gave me the same answer. I'm like, no, trust me. You just don't,
bro.
That shit just comes naturally to you. Like that doesn't come naturally to someone like me.
Yeah, I would just say creator in general, like creating videos, creating products, yeah. creating whatever.
That's a good.
I don't answer. Know.
What would you be? What would you say? Would you say you're a chef? Are you a nice chef?
No, I'm not a chef. Not an artist, you know what I mean?
You could, what do you mean? Food is art. Everything's art. I had one guest on my podcast, Flacco.
Flacco Jody.
No, not him. I wish.
Flacco Jody.
And he was arguing with me. He's like, everything is art. And I was like, what do you mean everything is art? And I gave him like five things. I was like, haircuts. And he described, you know, every artist, every barber is different. Your haircut will be different. And that's their art. And then I said, food. He's like, you could plate something in an artistic way. T-shirts. You design something, put your art on a T-shirt. And then I forget what I asked him, but it was like the most bland thing ever, like an accountant or something like that. And just... there's always a way to throw some sort of artistic style into anything. So everything is art. Everyone's
at the end of the day,
artist.
What we do, you could say, is art. Like, like writing up scripts and doing the skits and acting. That's an art.
It's not. If you're creating something.
Man.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
You're like Van Gogh over there.
I'm an artist, man. Y'all just make fun of things.
It's crazy. It is wild because I think like we all share a similar... even though you do shoes, we do the skits, you cook, like we all share like that similar like creative mind. Like you're definitely on a like,
Young Cheese, the next rapper.
You know Young Cheese, no Gouda?
Swimming in the money like a fucking barracuda.
Did you guys ever have like a rap stage where you're like wanted to become
I tried
music?
So hard one day. I tried so hard one
what
day,
do you mean,
bro.
When?
I bumped G Herbo, Mom, I'm sorry.
Nah, I'll freestyle right now. Reposado in my liver, swear I'm never fucking sober. Shout out Millie's, man. People, you're only going to get that if you know what I'm talking about.
Nah, I think everybody tried that at one point.
Cut the fucking podcast. Nah, I'm kidding. Nah, bro, yeah.
I wish I could just make music, like I was saying,
we all have like a creative mind. Like I know some people that strictly are just going to be like, they're just hands-on union laborers. Like, and that's fine. That's what they're good at. Handyman. For me, like, I don't know. I feel like... I've always been like more of a creative kind of person. Like, bro, I was filming on a flip video camera when I was 12 years old making movies with like my friends, you know, like
me too.
I
have archived YouTube videos, which are like the most embarrassing things.
I have that shit too, bro. I was making videos when I was like 10 years old,
me too.
9 years old.
I was stealing iPhones and jailbreaking them and selling them.
That's an art.
I was in middle school fleecing dudes.
It's an art. You're an artist.
I was literally fleecing dudes in middle school.
You were a hustler, weren't you? A little hustler?
Had to.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dad. Man, deadass. So I grew up seeing my pop steal just from Walgreens always. Yeah. And it was just like, I would do it to like make him proud. And it was like,
I went through a little phase where every time I went in a store, I had to take something. Like,
bro, why do I feel like you told me that before?
Because I used to take from where I worked when I was at Lowell.
Where? In Lowell?
I used to steal your stuff.
When I used to steal your money. Yeah, I stole
all
your stuff.
That money went, right.
Man.
It was always stupid little things. And I was like, why am I doing
this? Adrenaline rushes.
I was like 16 or 14 or something like that. And I just didn't have money to pay for shit. Or like I would have $20 and I would need like a phone case. And that's like $10. I'm like, I'm not spending $10 on a phone case.
Have you ever got caught? I got caught.
I didn't get caught.
I got caught on Marshalls selling a mouthpiece.
A mouthpiece? I got caught bad once. I was 13. It was summer going into eighth grade. I was chilling in Winthrop with a bunch of Winthrop kids and a couple Eastie kids. And I went to CVS with this girl. And I was trying to like impress her. So I was like, I'm just going to grab us some. We needed bug spray. We were getting bitten alive. It was a summer night. Grab some bug spray. Put it in my pocket. Meanwhile, I stole from the CVS the whole summer. Never got caught.
Yeah.
This one time, bro, this dumb fucking girl sprays the bug spray on herself in the store. So the guy walks over, sees it in my pocket, and he made me stay and called the cops. So a cop comes and he's like, you Ralphie's brother? I'm like, yeah. He's like, all right. He's like, listen, I was going to take you in the holding cell, but I'll just let you call your mother. My mother shows up pissed. Then I go back a week later, we're talking to a cop on the side of the road that we just knew. Bro, I dropped a knife out of my pocket. I found a knife on the ground, a pocket knife. And then he made me call my mother again. She was dead pissed. I couldn't leave the house after that.
You know what's crazy though? As a parent though, like me doing this, like you really just gotta look at it as like just a young kid. Like that shit's just normal. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, they were just raised in a different time. Like my mother's family's fucked up. So like any little thing I did wrong, like, she thought I was just gonna become like a fucking alcoholic and end up in prison. You know, that's where her mind went, you know.
I was always like the good kid. You know what I mean? That was taken from a store is like the only thing that I ever did. Like, and it was only a couple times.
You weren't a punk.
No, I was not. I was like scared of Ding Dong Ditch, bro. Like every time we'd be out, like David and all of us, we'd go like Ding Dong Ditch and I'd be like nervous as shit.
When did you start drinking? When was your first age you had your 18. First drink?
I had to ask my mom first.
Damn, for
real. I literally had to make sure it was okay with her because I couldn't like.
Did you drink or smoke weed first?
I drank first. I think.
Damn, bro. You were clean cut.
I was super clean cut.
I think I smoked first.
I drank first. We were walking around Winthrop again, fucking Winthrop with a backpack full of Bud Light.
I actually smoked my 13 years old. First time in Winthrop too. That's mad weird.
I smoked with Joe Serpa and Dom Nuzzo behind the CVS.
My first time was the Feast.
Damn, for real.
The Feast.
Damn, only the real ones know about St. Anthony's Feast.
When was the first time you guys got blown? Just mad weird with it.
Yeah, man. On that note, I think we're going to start wrapping this up. Jake, thank you. I had a fun time. I had a good time.
These podcasts are going to be banging. They're going to be bangers.
They're going to be good. Anything you want to plug? Plug a little Kizzo, a little Jakey.
I don't even know. Kizzo, go. Go follow Kizzo.
What's the handles?
Kizzo Kicks on Instagram and Jake Polino on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, all that. Follow one of those and you'll follow both of them basically. They're basically intertwined. So
a lot of cool stuff coming.
More cool stuff coming. A lot more cool stuff coming. All right. So be there for it.
Stay tuned.
Thank you for tuning in for Your Mother is Hot podcast.
That might be the name. Peace, love, happiness, like, subscribe, do the whole thing.
Yes, sir.
I can tell who's on the wear. 25 show, check the pair. I ain't going home, I'ma stay out. Motherfuckers hate you when they looking for a wear. I just sit back and let it play out. And she gon' let me hit it any day now. What you gonna say now? My ex-girl got a bait now. But she still let me stay now.